from Robert Fulghum's collection titled, It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It. Americans, it is observed, prefer definite answers, yes or no. No grays, please. In Indonesia, there is a word in common use that nicely wires around the need for black and white. Belum is the word, and it means not quite yet. A lovely word implying continuing possibility. Do you speak English? Belum, not quite yet. Do you have any children? Belum. Do you know the meaning of life? Belum. It is considered both impolite and cynical to say no outright. This leads to some funny moments. Is the taxi on fire? Belum. Not quite yet. It's an attitude kin to that behind the old vaudeville joke. Do you play the violin? I don't know. I never tried. Perhaps. Maybe. Possibly. Not yes or no, but within the realm of what might be. Soft edges are welcome in this great bus ride of human adventure. Is this the best of all possible worlds? Belum. Is the world coming to an end? Belum. Will we live happily ever after? Belum. Can we do without the weapons of war? Belum. I don't know, we never tried. Is it hopeless to think we might? Belum. Not quite yet. This ends our reading. Lovely. I always enjoy the writing of Robert Fulghum. This morning's reading bestowed a bonus, adding a word to my vocabulary. The word belum would have fit perfectly to describe a situation in a congregation I used to serve when, one Sunday morning, the scheduled musician did not appear. Did we have a pianist? I wondered, as the clock ticked closer to the start of the service. I might have answered, belum, maybe, but not quite yet. Kevin was never late, much less absent, so this was disconcerting all the way around. It turned out he was in the throes of moving, had lost track of the calendar, and was out of communication with the rest of the world. When we talked about it later, he was very apologetic. The music he offered the following week was exceptionally stirring. But on that particular Sunday, there was more than a little drama before the service began. A church member graciously filled in at the last minute, and just listening, no one would have guessed that he had arrived unprepared for that turn of events. When I thanked him, he said it actually had been less intimidating than if he had planned it in advance, because no one expected perfection. When the music critic David Haidu went into a Greenwich Village jazz club one Tuesday night in late August, he had low expectations. Summertime was not prime time for the major attractions. He was surprised to see a combo that included Wynton Marsalis. When Marsalis began his trumpet solo, "I Don't Stand a Ghost of a Chance with You," Haidu was as drawn in as the rest of the audience. Marsalis appeared deeply attuned to its melancholy, Haidu writes. He performed the song in murmurs and sighs, at points nearly talking the words in notes. It was a wrenching act of creative expression. When he reached the climax, Marsalis played the final phrase, the title statement, in declarative notes, allowing each successive note to linger in the air a bit longer. The room was silent until, at the most dramatic point, someone's cell phone went off, blaring a rapid sing-song melody and electronic bleeps. People started giggling and picking up their drinks. The moment, the whole performance unraveled. Marsalis paused for a beat, motionless, and his eyebrows arched. Haidu scrawled on a sheet of notepaper, "Magic, ruined." The cell phone offender scooted into the hall as the chatter in the room grew louder. Still frozen at the microphone, Marsalis replayed the silly cell phone melody, note for note. Then he repeated it and began improvising variations on the tune. The audience slowly came back to him. In a few minutes, he resolved the improvisation, which had changed keys once or twice and throttled down to a ballad tempo, and ended up exactly where he had left off. The ovation was tremendous. David Haidu's story occurs to me every now and then when I hear jazz performed, and at other times too. It came to my mind and stayed there as I prepared for a minister's retreat several years ago. Why was I suddenly thinking about improvisation? I asked myself. And then it came to me. The program component of that particular meeting was on how to apply the emerging technology in ministry. To say that this has always been a growing edge for me is a kind understatement. I think my thoughts turned to improvisation as a means of reframing my approach, of reframing my anxiety. The characteristically improvisational nature of jazz is a powerful metaphor for community, religion, ministry, Unitarian Universalism, and, well, life. Improvisation invites diversity, divergence from predetermined structures, and at the same time requires sustained relationship. It's a challenge to achieve a balance. What I'm describing invites dissonance in music and in life. If everyone is improvising, where is the order? It may seem counterintuitive, but improvisation does rely on rules of a sort. Whether in acting, musical composition, or spiritual growth, it's necessary to enter the world as it is. As Jocelyn pointed out this morning, and as someone offered in an example from his days of study in theater, don't deny the intentions of your fellow performers. For example, if your partner started a scene by saying, "Hi, Bob, what's that penguin doing on your head?" The worst possible response, the one that would kill the scene before it started, would be, "I'm not Bob. That's not a penguin. And who the hell are you?" So it's not just about saying yes, but about honoring what your cohorts bring to the table. The rules create freedom from maneuvering between the certainty of what is already known and the uncertainty of spontaneity. Improvisation has this in common with life. We don't always know what's going to happen. Musicians can agree as to the basic structure or limits of a piece of music. They may have played together many times before, are attuned to one another, anticipate each other. But as to exactly what's played, the sounds they create together, those elements are of the moment, spontaneous responses in a musical conversation. It takes courage and trust, taking a risk, opening oneself to vulnerability, relinquishing control of the situation. But success yields the potential to transcend boundaries, allowing music and more to emerge from the spirit in relationship. Listening, flexibility, and daring are necessary and present in jazz, in our faith lives, and in shared ministry. I don't possess the creativity of a jazz musician, but I can appreciate the end product, the music of that creative interchange. Like musical improvisation, the work we do in the world as we build and share our faith takes both preparation and risk. We bring our skills, experience, and reflection into our faith. Then we take chances. We step into uncertainty, into wonder, and discover something intimate and powerful. We experience ourselves transformed as creators. As I reflected before that minister's retreat, it occurred to me that I might have been having a hard time adjusting to the change technology brings because I'd forgotten to think of that as part of creation and of myself as a creator. A musician supports her fellow musicians and hopes that they will support her, but finally she has to take a risk, for there is no certainty, no one way to play. In jazz, improvisation means the spontaneous composition of music in the moment it's played. Being open to the unexpected, to music that's not yet fully revealed in its rhythms and beats, tones and harmonies. At that minister's retreat, 15 of us Western Canada ministers explored how to use some of the possibilities that emerging technology offers. Happily, my need to place technology alongside rather than to supersede the relationships we nurture and treasure was not overshadowed. Some dissonance is inevitable, but dissonance can also be sublime. When the social philosopher Cornel West described jazz as not just music, but a mode of being in the world, an improvisational mode, he was describing life. I witnessed this improvisational mode of being from a distance when I read about the Liberal Religious Educators Association, LREDA, putting that concept to a test at last fall's annual conference. The program's theme, Building Brave Spaces, included local activists, racial identity caucusing, and workshops on nonviolent communication, among other elements. The LREDA board secretary reported that they had only just begun with a small taste of nonviolent communication on Friday evening when things seemed off. The presenters were manipulative and paternalistic and refused to follow agreed upon accessibility guidelines, using the stage so that all could see. A small group of people spoke directly to the presenters that evening, providing feedback, and were assured that the stage would be used the next day. It was not, and things went swiftly downhill from there. Long story short, the board fired the two presenters, and a group came together to plan revised programming for the rest of the conference. They were fortunate that someone experienced in restorative circles happened to be staffing the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's booth at the conference. And so facilitators were trained and circles were offered. So, there had been a plan for that conference, but the Laredo leadership determined that it was not viable. They could have just carried on. Did they have a fallback strategy when the conference began? Balloon. Not quite. But improvisation was possible because they were willing to take a risk. A new plan was formed, and relationship with the membership of Laredo was salvaged, though at the expense of the original plan and original presenters.
Let's improvise and take a break and okay. Figure out if we need to do anything.
There's a record right there.
Catherine, just let him take a seat, yeah, it's okay. We don't need to follow him around, right? He's probably just letting.
There will be ice cream after.
After
it will be after the service. Sit down and join us for the service, and then there will be ice cream. After the service is when we have the food.
We didn't open those yet because we haven't finished our service.
Oh, goodness. I think we're okay. Well done, everyone. Way to improvise. So relationship with the membership of Laredo was salvaged, though at the expense of the original plan and the original presenters. Relationship prevailed. Boundaries were transcended. A new composition was begun and continues based on that trust. That respect for relationship was honored at the recent General Assembly, incidentally, as Laredo was presented with the Unitarian Universalist Association President's Award for Volunteer Service, recognizing decades of service. The fall conference presented Laredo leadership with the potential for an improvisational act, the potential to respond to an unexpected circumstance, not so different in spirit from the spontaneous composition of jazz in the moment it is played. The Reverend Cinnamon Daniels talks about coming upon a jazz combo, trumpet, drums, and bass, playing to a small but enthusiastic crowd in a New York City park. Some people had gathered around the musicians to listen. Some walked on by. And then, Cinnamon says, then a little old lady came up, a little bent over, walking with a cane, carrying some groceries. She stopped and bobbed her head in time to the music. She grinned at the musicians. And then she very slowly and carefully put down her bag of groceries. And she very slowly and carefully put down her cane. And she began to dance. She was graceful, dignified, and a little bit funky. She was having such a good time. She was answering yes to life, to truth, and to love. She was laughing, and all the listeners began to laugh with her and smile at her. The musicians were charmed and began to play to her, letting her movements guide them and transform their music. We were all there together, Cinnamon says, in a moment of magic, of pure improvisation. The song stopped, and so did the dancing lady. We all applauded her. She blew kisses to the musicians, and they bowed to her. And then she slowly and carefully picked up her cane, and slowly and carefully picked up her bag, and she walked away. And the music continued. The music continued. Life continues and carries us along because that's what life does. What can that mean for us in these days of YouTube and Facebook live streaming videos, so many of which sadly are of violence and injustice, pain and trauma? When every day seems to carry with it a new blow to the psyche. Michelle Alexander, author of The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, posted on Facebook that truly transformative change depends more on thoughtful creation of new ways of being than reflexive reactions to the old. The author reflected that she'd been inspired again and again by so much of the beautiful, brilliant, and daring activism unfolding all over the country. And at the same time, she believes a profound shift in our collective consciousness must occur, a shift that makes possible a new America. Those words were posted about a year ago, calling on us to apply an improvisational mode of being in the world. I think that advice still applies, perhaps more than ever nowadays. Such is life. That Sunday, when I realized that Kelly, as our stand-in musician, would not have prepared for the offertory, I suggested he might reprise the music from our second hymn. I was surprised by his response. Actually, he said, I have something else in mind. And everyone was delighted to hear a serendipitous jazz variation of Simple Gifts. The songs we share, riffing off each other, adding our own notes, improvising, and always learning, are indeed a gift. Not simple at all, but part of life's unfinished symphony. May it be ever so. Blessed be. Without silence, music would lose its meaning. In life, as in jazz and the blues, the rests are as important as the notes. The implicit is as present as the explicit. I invite you to join me in the spirit of meditation or prayer. Amid all the noise in our lives, let us take a moment to sit in silence, giving thanks for another day. Giving thanks for all those in our lives who have brought us warmth and love and music. Giving thanks for the gift of life. In silence, May we take time to appreciate the rests between the notes.